know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
My show tonight, Cooking It Up with Chef Seti, man. I'm so thankful that you all tuned in today, and I want to listen and learn about some new recipes and things. Man, you know, I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and I've been anxious to get back into the studio and get some more of these recipes out there for all my listeners. I'm back, and I'm coming back with a big vengeance, man. Real talk, man. I hope everybody has been blessed and everything has been well, man. I can't complain myself, man. You know, I have two of my favorite people here with me, CEO of Fast Life on the Move. Lady V is in the house, along with my dude, JW, man. Two very special people in my house. I'm going to give a shout-out to them right now before my show gets started, man. I hope y'all are ready. I hope you get your pen and your paper. And as you know, I encourage you to have a glass of wine, a beer, a cocktail, whatever your choice. And sit back and let's talk about some new recipes and that'll help you get through your work week this week, man. So how's everybody doing? Well, we're going to start off with a few things, and since those seasons are starting to change, I thought I'm going to change up the show a little bit. As the winter months start to roll in, you'll see a lot more suits and stews. But with the fall coming in, man, you know, the weather's been really, really nice. I mean, it's just been perfect for me. So I'm going to go ahead and start off tonight with a broccoli cheese soup. And this is absolutely from scratch, man. This is right here, a wonderful recipe. It's very easy to make. And a lot of people really enjoy it whenever I make this soup. We're going to start off with a broccoli cheese soup. And this is going to feed anywhere between 3 to 5 people, just depending on how much they eat. Now, if you're going to serve this for a dinner party, definitely would suggest that you serve it in smaller portions. That way they don't get full off of the soup. But I like to do multiple courses, so I'm good for a 5 or 6 course meal. Just kind of take that as however you're going to take that with your customers or with your guests that's going to eat with you that night. The things that you will need for this are going to be 3 tablespoons of butter or margarine, 3 tablespoons of chopped onions, 3 tablespoons of flour, 1 can of chicken broth. And a key note about that chicken broth, if you actually are able to make your own chicken broth, and this is simply by boiling some chicken, you can actually just boil chicken bones and you can make your own chicken broth and add some vegetables in there. So really gives it a really, really nice flavor if you make your own chicken broth. But you can go use Swanson's, which is what I like to use. 1 cup of whole milk, 1 8-ounce container of Velveeta cheese. You're going to cut that up into small cubes. It helps it melt better. 1 package of frozen chopped broccoli, thawed and drained. Now, all y'all who've tuned into my show before know that I don't do frozen vegetables. I prefer to use fresh, but really it's up to you with what you would like to use. But just get you about 10 ounces of broccoli. Again, this is a recipe that's not going to feed like my normal recipes, which is up to 30. This is just a small amount. So if you need to feed more people, you just multiply and add on to what you need. Also, you'll need your 3/4 cup of cheddar cheese, and shred that up, and you'll need a tablespoon of garlic powder, and then you're going to salt and pepper to taste. Optional, and this is one thing that I love about broccoli cheese soup, is that you can actually make this into an entree, because you can add whatever. You can add your own little touch. One touch I like to add to it is to add me about 1/2 pound of Italian sausage, man. I'm telling you, that broccoli cheese Italian sausage soup is absolutely amazing. It is to die for, and I promise you, you'll have people talking all night long about your soup. But you're going to start off by melting that butter in a large saucepan over medium heat. Go ahead and add your onions, and you're going to cook those for about 5 minutes. Or until your onions are nice and tender. Now, remember, because you are serving this to customers and our guests that are going to be eating this, presentation is everything to me. So if you need to know an easy way of chopping an onion where everything is uniform and in a nice dice, please, please follow me on Facebook at Ced Washington, or feel free to email me at CedricWashington83@gmail.com, and I can show you some tips on how to prep and get things ready for your dishes so that they look very nice and presentable to your guests. But after that onion is tender and it's nice and clear, go ahead and add your flour and cook it for about 1 minute or until it's bubbly, stirring constantly, because you have the flour in there. You want to make sure you stir it constantly. You don't want it to get lumpy, but you want to make it a nice, smooth taste until it gets nice and bubbly. Go ahead and stir in your milk and your chicken broth and bring that to a boil. Reduce that heat over medium. Remember, you do not want to cook things on high. You have to slow it down because time is of essence in the cooking, and every minute does count. So you don't want to overcook anything. So milk is something that you can scorch real bad, so you don't want to have that taste lingering through your soup. So stir in your milk and your chicken broth and bring that to a boil, and then reduce that heat over medium to a low simmer. And do that for about 1 minute. Go ahead and add the remaining ingredients, which will include your chopped broccoli, your cheddar cheese, your garlic powder, and your salt and pepper. If you like a little spice in it, feel free to add you whatever kind of spices that you enjoy to use. I like to use some crushed red pepper just to give it a little zing and give it a little spice in my life, because we all know that I love spice and cheese. So cook that until that Velveeta is nice and melted and creamy. I would prefer to use Velveeta because it does, the consistency of it melts down so nice. But, you know, any other kind of block cheese is good, just as long as it's a nice soft cheese like that. You'll want to ensure that you heat that up very thoroughly, stirring it occasionally so that it does not stick to the pan, so forth and so on. Again, that completes that recipe right there. And as far as serving it, man, you know, the presentation of this can be so nice. I mean, you can actually take you some chopped parsley or anything and just kind of sprinkle that on top of the sprig or something or any type of herb that you like, and that's going to give it a nice presentation for your soup, man. And there you go, have it. You're going to start off with your soup. As all banquets and courses start out, we're going to start out with a soup. And we're going to keep it pushing and moving right along. I want to go ahead and reach out to my vegetarian listeners, you know, the ones that don't eat a lot of meat, that really love vegetables. And I want to go over a recipe for a vegetarian pasta salad. We're coming out of the summertime, which, you know, I do a lot of salads for the summer, especially pasta salads. But this is something, again, that flows really nicely into the fall because that weather is just right for that. But this is a vegetarian pasta salad. This is going to feed anywhere from about 5 to 8 people, depending on how many you're going to have. You just multiply those ingredients and what you need. Start off with the 3 pounds of the tricolor pasta. You know, cook that and drain it. After you've cooked and drained it, you're going to shock it. And what I mean by shocking is you're going to give it an ice bath. You're going to chill it because you're going to serve this cold. So you want to make sure that you get out of that danger zone from the heat and this, that, and the other, and bring that down to the right temperature with the ice bath. Next, you'll move on to 1 red onion. You're going to dice that small. Take you 2 red bell peppers, and you'll dice those small. 6 plum tomatoes, you're going to dice those small. Please ensure that you do not use the core and take that core out of the middle of the tomato because it does not look great in a dish. 2 bunches of green onions or shallots. It doesn't really matter. I'm sorry, not shallots, scallions. So you can either use 2 bunches of green onions or scallions, and you're going to dice those up really small, and you have about 2 bunches of those. Next, take you 2 zucchinis and dice those small. If you do not know the difference between a zucchini and a cucumber, please feel free to reach out to me so that I can let you know, because I've had some people that actually use cucumbers instead of zucchini, and they were like, oh, that doesn't look right and taste right. So, yeah, you want to stay with the squash family, and the zucchini is in a squash family. Along with your 2 zucchini, get your 2 yellow squash, and you're going to dice those up small, and then 3 cups of Italian dressing. Now, I like to use a very zesty Italian dressing to give it that nice zing to it, and the flavors really pop out really well. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to mix all these ingredients and chill that for about 30 to 45 minutes. Preferably for myself, I like to do it overnight, and that ensures that the flavors are all setting in there really nice and well. And you just serve it as is, man, straight out of the bowl, man. It's an absolute amazing salad. Again, something for the vegetarians out there that don't eat a lot of meat and want to kind of stay on the vegetable side. This is not very high in calories or fat. You just want to make sure that the dressing that you use is to your liking as far as that. You know, I actually had some people that wanted to ask me about kale. If you don't know anything about kale, kale is in the green family. It's a green. I actually like to eat kale almost more than like collard greens and turnip greens, man, to be honest with you, man. And kale has such a rich flavor in it. The color of it is so beautiful when you cook it. It's a vibrant, vibrant green. But a dish that I've been cooking lately at the venue that I work at, and it's very popular, is a kale salad, man. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely to die for. It is not hard to prepare at all. The preparation is extremely easy. excuse me. But you'll start off with some kale, and you'll have that chopped up. Now, if you're going to go to a grocery market and you're going to get kale from there, you'd have to chop your own. But if you can get it in a bag already chopped, that works just fine. But depending on how many people you're going to feed, I'm going to say to start out with 1 bunch and chop that up into little strips. You know, you don't want it to be too big because, this again, it's going to be a salad. So you want it to be nice and convenient for one to eat. And start off with your kale and then take you some fresh squeezed lemon juice. You're going to take about, depending on if you like a lot of lemon. Now, I like the lemon because the lemon really brings out the flavor in the entire salad. So I would do maybe 1 1/4 of lemon juice, from one fresh squeezed lemon, and you'll want to make sure that you saturate that kale with that lemon juice. Toss it around really, really nice. Also, take you some virgin olive oil. If you want to use a flavored olive oil, which I do know, I do have recipes on how to flavor your olive oil. If you want it to be a basil or a garlic, and this is again something to help bring out the flavors in this in the dish. But just regular olive oil will work, and you just want to make sure that you coat all of the salad, all of the leaves with the olive oil along with the lemon juice, fresh squeezed lemon juice. Do not use the bottle stuff. Next, you will take you about a half a cup of pine nuts. You'll want to toast those very, very short time over medium heat. You don't want to overcook your pine nuts, because if you overcook them, you're going to have that burnt taste inside of your salad. That's definitely not what we're aiming for right there. We want a nice taste that will go good with the palate. So your pine nuts, about a half a cup. You just want to be lightly brown. They start out pretty white, and then you want them to get lightly brown. And it take you about a cup and a half of Misha bread. Now, Misha bread is something that you cannot get out of your normal meat market. You have to know someone who bakes this bread. It's an absolutely amazing bread. If you have any questions on any bread recipes, if you want to know how to make Misha or ciabatta or sourdough, I mean rye, any kind of bread that you would like to be baked, man, please reach out to me or give a call in later on in the show, and I will share that number with you here momentarily, and we can talk about the different bread ideas that I have. But take your Misha and your pine nuts, and you're going to put that in your Cuisinart or a food processor, and you're going to chop that up very nice and finely. Note that when you chop the pine nuts and the Misha, the moisture from the nuts is going to go in there with the bread, so it's going to make it a nice, moist mixture. And you're actually going to put that inside of your salad. And you'll mix that around with the lemon juice, with the olive oil, and the kale. And take you about a cup and a half of Parmesan cheese, freshly grated if at all possible, because, as you know, I'm a big cheese lover, and if you have any questions on different types of cheeses or what types of cheeses are used, please feel free to call in. But after mixing all those ingredients together, let that salad, now this is a must, you must let this salad sit for a 24-hour period, and this is going to get all of the flavors mixed into that kale. And I promise you that when you take a bite out of this, you will not want to turn to another salad. Just be careful, though, because if you eat too much of that salad, you're going to be going back and forth to the bathroom. So this is something that is really, really good for the colon. And really good. It's really healthy, and it's not a lot of extra added in there. You do not need to add salt nor pepper to it unless you just want to. But because of all those flavors that are in there and that Misha bread, it really makes the flavors pop out. And, again, this is something that's nice to serve at a nice banquet or just a simple night at home with you and your loved ones. But, yeah, if you have any questions about the Misha or anything like that, please feel free to call into the show when the phone lines open up. Moving on, we all know that I'm big on chicken salads and so forth and so on. So I want to go over a chicken salad recipe with you. And I like this chicken salad because you don't see a lot of people that talk about dried fruit, so forth and so on, unless you talk about craisins or raisins. Well, this actually is an apricot chicken salad. The apricots give it just that right amount of sweetness, and it's an absolutely amazing chicken salad. This recipe that I'm about to give you serves about 30 people. So you'll cut that down to however many people that you need to cut it down for. And start off with your 10 pounds of chicken breast without the skin, boneless, skinless chicken breast. And you're going to poach that and dice it. If you do not know what poaching means, you're simply going to boil it. You don't want to overboil it to where it just shreds, because you're going to kind of cube this chicken salad up. But if you would like to shred it, that's absolutely fine. But you're going to poach it, and then you're going to season your water. And actually, as you're poaching your chicken, this is a good way for you to start off making your chicken broth, because the water and all that stuff is going to mix well together. You can save that and make your chicken broth that you can use for another dish. Take you about 1.5 pounds of dried apricot. You can mostly find the best dried fruit and a big quantity of different dried fruits at your local fresh markets. You know, they have them in your local supermarkets but and Walmart, but if you go to a fresh market, they'll have a lot of different meat, dried fruits and nuts and stuff that you can use that you can even add in with this apricot chicken salad. But dried apricots are really, really good and healthy for you as well. Take you 1 pound of raisins, seedless. That is absolutely optional. I'm not a raisin fan, but if you are a raisin fan, by all means, go ahead and add those raisins in there. I do not like the raisins in mine because of the apricots do just the right amount of sweetness for me. Take you three bunches of green onions, and you're going to dice those up small. 1 quart of sour cream, 2 cups of mayonnaise, or something else that is really neat, and make a note of this, that when you're making any type of salad, chicken salad, tuna salad, if you don't want to use the mayonnaise, try using a low-fat Greek yogurt, which is something that I've actually started to use more than mayonnaise now. So take that note, man, and try it out, man. It makes an absolutely amazing, amazing difference in your dishes. So try using that that low-fat Greek yogurt and see how you like that. Also take you 1 cup of Creole mustard, and you're going to salt and pepper it to taste. The method of this is you're going to broil your chicken, as I said before, and you're going to cube it up in a bowl and slice your apricots, because those apricots usually tend to be pretty big. And go ahead and add your chicken, add the apricot with the chicken and your raisins and those chopped green onions. Mix in your yogurt or your mayonnaise and sour cream and your mustard together, and let this sit for about 24 hours so that those flavors will get set in. Again, add salt and pepper to taste. The more dressings may be added if necessary if the salad is too dry. So if you mix it up and it doesn't seem to get the right amount of moisture for you, then simply just add a little bit more yogurt or mayonnaise, and that'll moisten up a little bit. And even if that is, even after it's set for a couple of days, feel free to add you more Greek yogurt or more mayonnaise just to kind of liven it up a little bit, and it'll give you back to that nice moisture. Again, this is a great salad that you can serve at any type of function. I like to use these when I'm doing different banquets or if I'm doing a small party and we're going to do heavy hors d'oeuvres. You know, I like to take this on and just serve this on a piece of rye bread or, you know, ciabatta, and it makes a great sandwich as well. So if you have any questions about any of my events and me catering or any advice on catering events, please feel free to reach out and call when those phone lines open up at 646-929-0558. The next recipe that I'm going to talk about is a bit of a taboo recipe because not a lot of people even know how to pronounce the word quiche, let alone know what's in quiche. But as you hear Lady V here in the studio, you're giving her support right back here, man. We're going to give her some shout-out. I know that we love her so very much. But I definitely want to talk about a quiche recipe, man. Quiche is an absolutely wonderful dish, man. It's something that you can serve for breakfast with a nice mimosa at a Sunday brunch, you know. And just don't knock it till you try it, because that's one of the good things about quiche. It's so versatile. You can do so many different things with quiche, and you'll never even know you're actually eating an egg pie. That's basically what a quiche is. The recipe that I have, it is extremely simple, and the preparation for it is very easy. You'll start off with, and again, this is going to be determined how many people you're going to be cooking it for. If you want to make one, it's going to be, you know, you can get you 8 nice slices out of that one quiche. If you're going to make many quiches, you'll just use a little small pie shells, and you'll just fill those up. And they can be little personal quiches. Again, that's something that's so versatile. You can do so many different things with quiche. One of my particular favorites is a broccoli cheese quiche, and I talked about broccoli cheese earlier. Also, try spinach and a smoked Swiss cheese, man. The smoked cheese in quiches really bring out a flavor in any dish, in my opinion. And also try to add in some smoked Gouda to any dish that you make. It's a cheese that melts extremely well, man, and I promise you it'll make it pop. So to start off with a quiche, you're going to start off with your 2-inch high pie crust. Now, if you would like to make your own pie crust, that's absolutely fine. If you have a recipe for that, I do know how to make my own pie crust, but sometimes I get a little bit lazy and I just want to use the old regular pie crust out the freezer, let it thaw out, and I'm good to go. So start off with 1 tablespoon of finely chopped green bell peppers. And, again, these things are going to be seamed, so you want to make sure that everything looks nice and uniform and a nice small dice and everything doesn't look like it's standing out with big, huge chunks out. So if you have any questions on how to prep and cook, cut up your vegetables, please feel free to reach out. Next, you'll have 1 small onion finely chopped. Take you 1 4.5-ounce can of mushrooms, and you're going to drain and chop those up as well. You'll need 6 eggs, 2 cups of heavy cream. Heavy cream is located in your dairy section. It is in a milk section. It is in a milk family. It's just a lot thicker than milk, and it's used for so many recipes. I can't even tell you that heavy cream, I don't know what I would do without it in my life. It just makes my stables go kaboom. But get you 2 cups of heavy cream, 1 8-ounce container of Monterey Jack cheese, or 8-ounce container and an 8-ounce container of shredded Swiss. Again, be versatile with the cheeses. Don't be afraid to try new things. Go to your local supermarket and study up on what different types of cheeses there are out there and try it in your quiche or in any other dishes, man. I promise you, you'll love it. If you have any questions about that, please shoot me a text message or an email. Next, take your 12 ounces of a ham chop. My particular favorite is a smoked ham that's actually been on the pit. If you have access to that, you can do turkey, you can do bacon, you can do pork, I mean beef. You can do whatever kind of filling you want for your quiche, and it's going to make it absolutely wonderful. Next, you'll add you 1 half a teaspoon of vinegar, 1/8 of a teaspoon of dried tarragon. Tarragon, let me explain to you, is an herb. It's actually in the sunflower family. It's a green, and it does not take a whole lot because the taste of it is so powerful. So you only need about 1/8 of a teaspoon of that, along with a pinch of garlic powder, a pinch of ground nutmeg, pinch of dried parsley, and this is all for color and flavor, and you're going to salt, pepper to taste. While you're mixing all this up, have your oven preheated to about 350 degrees, and your cook time is going to be about an hour until it's nice and golden bubbly. In a large skillet, you'll saute all your vegetables, your green pepper, onion, mushrooms, and do that again for about a good 5 minutes till your onions turn nice and clear, and they don't still have that crunch in it. Meanwhile, in a large bowl, mix your eggs and your cream and stir in all of your vegetables and everything and just pour all of that into your pie crust. Bake that in the middle rack in your oven for about an hour, maybe an hour, 15 minutes, till it's nice and brown. And I promise you, once you taste quiche, you would not want to go back. This has been a favorite dish of mine since I was a kid. My dad had actually introduced me to quiches, and I promise you should try it out if you've never had a quiche before. What we're going to do now is we're going to take us a light little break, and we're going to go and listen to a little Al Green talk about love and happiness, because I always have love and happiness in my life, and I hope you do too. Please stay tuned for our next segment of the show. We'll be going into our entrees and other little vegetables that you can cook. Stay tuned, and Chef Fetty will be right back with you.
Sorry if I Yes. I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful. Have done. Look at him and tell him, yes, I'm grateful. The victory that we've won. Tell him, I could go on and on. About your works. Because I'm grateful. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Man, look ahead, look ahead. Okay, callers, I got to first off say, hey, you know what, I had to throw in a little gospel with that grateful because I am so truly grateful for where the Lord has brought me, and I hope that you're grateful too. But what I'm not grateful for is when I had these damn blonde moments and I done wasted 15 minutes giving y'all some recipes and y'all ain't heard a lick of them because my phone was on the mute. Look, Jesus, take the wheel and fix it right now, Jesus. So I had to pull me up another glass of wine so I can get my head together, man, because I said maybe it's because I ain't had no wine today. So I done pulled me up a nice glass of sangria, man, and I promise y'all I'm going to get it together for these next 42 minutes in the show. Right now the phone lines are opening. So if you have any questions about the recipe that you thought you were going to hear that I muted you out on, please feel free to call in at 646-929-0558 and see what's cooking up with Chef Fetty. We're going to go ahead and take our first caller right now and see what's cooking. What's happening, caller? You've been home cooking up with Chef Fetty. What's cooking?
Well, 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 Chef Fetty, Chef Fetty. You know, I had to call in and give you the tea about these 15 minutes, right?
Y'all, wait. Thank y'all. Hey, look, y'all, we got Lady V calling in, man, CEO of Fast Life on the Move. It's been, look, okay, Lady V, it's been 2 weeks. Look, I'm a little rust, I'm setting, and I'm going to be like the tin man and put me a little all right here so I can get the kinks out right quick. Hey, look, players mess up, too.
But you show right. But what it look like with the player messing up and the CEO sitting right next to the player? That don't even look right.
Look, we both
messed up.
I was hoping that was one detail that the listeners may have forgot. Cause they were like, wait a minute, ain't the CEO sitting right there with him in the studio and she don't even
right
know talking on the phone?
Right. So, now what that tell you, y'all?
I don't take all the blame right now. I'm going to blame it on the CEO as well.
Look, let me tell y'all something. Y'all know Lady V says to give y'all the tea during the cooking show. This don't even make no sense. Understand something. I was listening. I was. But I was like, well, maybe he just, you know, maybe something wrong with the phone. Maybe the phone stopped, you know, because that's what electronical devices do. While
baby,
that's going on, I am being a good CEO, host, lady, all this good stuff, and posting this good stuff, telling y'all to tune in because it's fire and we're going down, baby. I done heard all the recipes, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, bet. So I took a brief moment to advertise, to promote, because that's what we do here. Y'all can't listen in if y'all don't know that we're going down in the Playhouse.
Right.
I am. Back by, I say, well, wait a minute. And then it just came on so smooth. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This don't even sound right. We got to be more careful, y'all. It's Monday. Chef said in the building. Yes, he is. Cooking it up with Chef Fetty. And, of course, Lady V. Hey, guys.
Yeah, what? Man, you know, I got to say, Lady V, man, it's so good to be back on the air again. I'm trying to get all the kinks out and everything. But if callers, if you have any questions about the four recipes that I just said, about the Eye of Round, my classic shrimp Alfredo from scratch, my crawfish cake, my salmon cake, I don't even think I got the pork quesadillas on there. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to call in at 646-929-0558. And what I plan on doing is hopefully at the end of the show, since I did just give away 15 minutes of it, I'm going to reiterate those five recipes that you did not hear. And I mean, I'm talking my life away over here, Lady V. You hear me
and
talking my
out
life away.
It was sounding so good, y'all. I'm talking about I'm helping writing the recipes there too. So I am multitasking, y'all. Know this is Fast Life on the Move. It's called Fast Life on the Move for a reason, baby, because we be on the move. We be doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, baby, we on the move. We on the move, all right.
But them recipes was good, baby. We sure is. Man, moving real quick. But it sounded good, though. It did sound good. I got them, though. I got them.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry that y'all didn't get them, but I tell y'all what, just to make sure that it goes down, we are going to take some time, yes, because me and Chef Seti, we're going to sit down after the end of the show, and we're going to put the recipes that he did not say, instead of, you know, because he's going to get to the next recipes too, but instead of that, we're going to put the recipes on the page for you. That's what we're going to
do.
That's how we do it at Sass Life on the Move, baby. You don't miss nothing here. Because on replay, even if you play it back, you still ain't going to hear it. So we going to make sure.
I'm not going to play with you, Lady V.
I'm just saying, baby, y'all know I'm going to give y'all a tea. I know I'm going to keep it to you real, baby. Y'all still ain't going to hear it. So we going to make sure, and that's my word, that we going to make sure that y'all get them recipes. They will be on Fast Life on the Move, and we'll also make sure that they're inside, just in case y'all don't see them on the direct page. We'll post them inside the event page where you guys say that you're going. We'll post them in there, too. That way, you guys will be able to write them down, copy, paste them, share them, however you want to do it, to make sure that you get those recipes, because they was fire. And baby, I need you to go on and get ready. Look, I said I'm about to. Baby, I'm on vacation. Well, I can't even say I'm on vacation because I'm always working. But anyway, at the end of the day, I'm going to need you to hurry up so we can get this, that Alfredo on the Move, baby, because, baby, that show sounded good.
Yes, yes. Well, I still got some more good recipes coming up right now, man. I'm actually going to go into my entrees. We're going to talk about a little chicken, some adouli, and all kind of good stuff. So, man, Lady V, make sure you stay tuned. You cannot go back and promote and say, hey, Swan moment, and he wasn't talking for about 15 minutes. But make sure you do that, okay?
I got you, baby. You know I'm going to take care of us, baby. You know I'm going to get us right. But y'all make sure y'all stay tuned in, baby. This is Lady V, baby. I'm on the Move. Yes, I'm in the TYL hanging out with Chef Seti in his kitchen, baby, and is cooking it up. He cooking it up. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned in and, you know, enjoy the rest of the show. I will try to make sure that he's not on mute for y'all, okay? Because I want to make sure y'all get all the rest, but I only want to do these five now.
All right. I appreciate it, Lady V, man. We're gonna keep it moving on. We're gonna hit our next caller, but I love you, baby. Thank you for all the support.
Love you too, baby.
Thank you for calling Cooking It Up with Chef Seti. You got Chef Seti on the line. What's cooking?
Hey, Seti. This is Charmin. I'm supposed to be going to sleep, but I called Lady V, and I was wondering what happened, you know, but I didn't ask her, but I'm like, what? I'm thinking, oh, the show's supposed to be going on. You know, I was thinking, something was wrong with my computer, you know. I'm thinking, what happened?
No,
yeah, but
baby,
I was
it was not you, too. Charmin. It was not you. It was all me. I don't even think you heard me give you a shout-out, did you?
No. I've been tired all day, and I was getting ready to go to sleep, and I told Lady V I wanted to sleep, but then I was like, what happened? McKenzie said, what happened to the show? You know, my computer has been tuned in all this time, and I didn't know what happened. And then all of a sudden,
girl,
I hear a gospel song
on
going
tripping.
On.
Wait,
you know what?
I don't want y'all to think that I don't know what I'm talking about, because I really was trying to play with, but just like Al Green, she said she didn't feel like performing tonight, so I had to keep it pushing and moving on to the gospel and play, you know. So it ain't that I can't read. They just choosing not to show up for my show.
Right, but, you know, I just wanted to call and offer my love and support, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the show, and then after that I'm going to bed. But I definitely was tuned in, and I'm like, something wrong with me. Yeah, then when I called her, she didn't say that because she didn't know. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder, do she know?
Well, know that I'm back, and I really am back with Avengers, man, and I'm going to kill it for these last 32 minutes that I have on the air, man. I'm going into some entrees, so please, darling, stay tuned, sister, man. I appreciate the love as always, Charmin, and I love you, darling. We'll talk real soon.
Yeah, and I love it. I love the whole Fast Life family, and I'm so happy to be part of you all. Just wanted to let you guys know that.
Oh, yes, baby. Yeah, it's such a good time. It feels good to have a good, strong team the way we have. I really think that we're shooting for a huge amount of success with the team that we have. Again, listeners, y'all stay tuned for our seven-day lineup, man. And Charmin is actually going to do her debut show this Saturday. Is that correct, Charmin?
Yes. Yes, but I only hope that I can do as good as you guys do and as good as, you know, the pro. Lady V is just a pro. She's just so good at it. I do appreciate her, and I appreciate being part of the team and everybody. So I just got nothing but mad love for Fast Life on the move now, because y'all definitely on the move, all of y'all. Y'all doing it.
Already, baby, already. Well, stay tuned, baby. We're going to keep it moving on right now.
All righty. Well, have a good rest of the show.
All right, baby. Thank you, love.
Bye-bye.
Man, you know what? That's what I'm talking about. See, that's fam right there. That's how we do it right here on Fast Life on the Move. One family, one love, man. We all going to have each other's back. When one of us is slipping, we're going to reach in and pick that other one up and make sure we keep it right on the right path, man. So that's why I love this family at Fast Life on the Move. Continue to follow us and like our page, man, on Facebook, Twitter, all of the other social media going on. You know, I'm still just stuck on Facebook, Twitter, and that Instagram and all that. Oh, excuse me, never mind. We're just on the Facebook, so that keeps it simple for my life. See, hey, that's good for me. But moving right along, man, we're going to go into a few entree dishes, and I definitely want to hit up a couple of desserts at the end of the show, man, because I did tickle somebody's palate with an absolutely amazing bread pudding that I had made this previous week with a nice, I call it the drunk sauce, but it has a nice bourbon sauce on it, man. It actually, if you just eat the bourbon sauce by itself, you're going to walk around here tipsy. That's how good it is. It's full of Jack Daniels, baby, my kind of dessert. But moving on, before we get to dessert, man, we're going to hit it up with some of these entrees, man. I'm going to talk about some stuffed chicken. This is one of the dishes that I absolutely love. I think that if you know how to stuff a chicken breast, the presentation of it is absolutely beautiful. The flavor of all of those ingredients mixing up just is to die for. But this is actually a Cajun stuffed chicken breast. Your ingredients are as follows, and this, again, is going to be required to however many people you're trying to feed. But take you to 15 large chicken breasts, preferably skinless and boneless. You don't want a bone in it when you're trying to stuff something. Take you 3 cups of cornbread. You need some andouille, and andouille, and that's spelled A-N-D-O-U-I-L-L-E. Andouille is a sausage that is originated from France, so it has a nice, nice flavor to it. You'll want to take that and dice it up very nice and fine because, again, you're going to be stuffing your chicken in this. If you need any quick tips on how to chop up things, please feel free to reach out to me on Facebook at Fed Washington at my email, FedWashington83@gmail.com. Moving on, we need some diced red pepper, about 3 tablespoons. With that andouille sausage, you need 2 pounds of it. So dice you up some fine andouille, about 2 pounds. Cajun seasoning, you'll need about 2 tablespoons of that. And then with the Cajun seasoning, just use whatever brand you like. If you actually want to make up your own Cajun seasoning, which is what I do, I just put some with some to make something happen, baby, and I come out with an amazing dish every time. Don't ask me what I put in it, because if I don't write it down, I don't remember. But if you want to use just a regular Cajun sauce, just get whatever flavor you like. And then finally, you'll need about 8 eggs. In stuffing the chicken, you'll need to know how to properly create the pocket in the chicken breast so that you don't fillet the chicken breast and have it flat open. You don't want a butterfly. You want to make a nice little pocket. So a nice, small, sharp paring knife is really good. And ensure that when you lay that chicken breast down, lay that down and lay your hand on it flat. This ensures that your fingers are not in the way when you're making that pocket into the chicken. So after you've made your pocket, the hole should be big enough to allow for a piping bag. And we talked about the piping bag earlier in the show. I don't think I was muted when I was talking about the piping bag. But in case I was, if you don't have a pastry piping bag, you can actually use a Ziploc bag, a large gallon Ziploc bag, and just put your filling inside of that and cut a hole at the tip of it, and you can use that as a piping bag. And it works just as fine. Mix the remainder of your ingredients in a bowl and allow to stand and chill for about a half an hour. Fill your piping bag or your Ziploc bag about a third of a way, because as you're squeezing this out, you don't want the filling to come out of the top, so you don't want to fill it completely up. You only want to fill it up to about a third full. Fold in the breast under the plate, and fold ends of the breast under the plate and under, and place on a grate. I'm just not even talking right now. I'm mad about this 15 minutes. Anyway, let me start. Fold the ends of your breast under, and then place them on an oven grate in your large hotel pan, which is about 2 inches in depth. You can steam bake this in a combi oven if you do not have one, and if you don't have access to a combi oven. You can bake it. Just ensure that you cover it with the saran wrap and the foil, and this is going to make sure that your chicken breast does not dry out and you don't overcook the chicken, because then it just will not be good. You want it to be a nice, moist morsel that goes into your mouth and really just triggers that palate. You'll only want to cook this for about 20 minutes at 275 degrees. This is a dish that you can actually eat cold, but I like to cook it hot. And I actually like to spread and sprinkle some smoked Gouda cheese on top of it. Gouda cheese is along the specialty cheese aisle. It is in the Swiss family. So if you have any questions about any cheeses, please feel free to email or give a call in when the phone line stay open from now for the next 25 minutes at 646-929-0558. But that is our Cajun stuffed chicken breast. And we're going to move right along to another stuffed chicken dish, which is a wild rice spinach stuffed chicken. This serves one chicken per person, the same as the last previous recipe. But you can start off with about 12 boneless and skinless chicken breasts again, and pound them thin. Excuse me. Take you 1 3-pound box of frozen spinach, or if you would like to use fresh spinach, you'll just have to saute it in some virgin olive oil, some olive oil, and give just enough for it to wilt. You don't want to overcook it, because you're going to be cooking it again. 1 bag of wild rice and mushroom stuffing. This is something, again, that if you would like to cook your own rice, as I do, I go ahead and cook my own rice, and I do use fresh mushrooms. Shiitake mushrooms work great. I love shiitake mushrooms. They're just the right size. They cut up nice and fine, and they look really great in dishes. You'll need 1 cup of powdered Parmesan cheese, 2 cups of water, 1 cup of olive oil, and parsley flakes and paprika, and this is going to be for your garnishing to give it its color. Place the water in the rice stuffing bag if you're going to use a bag of rice, and just follow the directions of how you're going to cook the rice. Add your spinach in it and mix it well. You do not need to squeeze out the excess spinach if you do use frozen spinach. Usually when you're using frozen spinach, you'll need to squeeze out the excess water. You do not have to do it for this dish. Add the cheese and mix it well. Stuff the chicken breast into rolls and place into oven. So what you're going to do is you're going to lay your chicken out. You're going to pound the chicken out to make it like a piece of paper. And you're actually going to put your filling on top of that, and you're going to roll it up, kind of like a Swiss roll. And I know as kids, we all remember the Swiss roll, where you can cut into it and you see the different layers. And that's what you're actually going for with that rice and that spinach. It's going to give it a really, really nice color. So you want to roll that up into rolls and then place it in your hotel pan. Sprinkle your parsley and your paprika, and drizzle that with some olive oil. Bake it in your oven at about 350 degrees for about 35 to 40 minutes, man. And when you are ready to serve it, you can actually slice it. And I like to do it in a diagonal. That way you can see all that gooey filling that's on the inside, man. It's an absolutely amazing dish. The kiddos will actually love it if they don't mind the spinach. Spinach is good for you. My kids always love spinach. But, again, this is a great dish, and it goes really, really, really well. Let's take it down to New Orleans, and let's talk about a little jambalaya. And, yes, listen, I am working on an amazing Jesus, I just lost all train of thought. Gumbo. Okay, maybe not. I drank a little too much. But I am working on an amazing gumbo dish that's going to be coming out at the latter part of the year when it gets nice and cold, and we'll all be craving a nice warm soup and stew. That'll be on that soup show that I formed that's going to be coming about mid-November. So please make sure you stay tuned for that, along with the new It cooking show, and it's just going to focus on a low-cal diet and still impact with a lot of flavor. But we're going to talk about a chicken and sausage jambalaya. Your ingredients are as follows. You'll need 6 onions chopped, 12 tablespoons of butter, 4.5 cups of canned tomatoes, 1 cup of tomato paste, 4 tablespoons of garlic chopped. And again, be fresh to use your minced garlic or fresh garlic and just chop it up yourself. 1 bunch of celery chopped, 1/2 a cup of red bell pepper, 3 teaspoons of chopped parsley, 1.5 teaspoons of thyme, and you'll want to use that thyme to taste. Your smoked sausage. I would, again, go with the andouille sausage, man, because it has that great French flavor to it, and it really mixes well with if you're trying to achieve that New Orleans-style cooking. You'll need about 3 pounds of that, and then chicken smoked and pulled. By pulling, you're just going to basically shred it apart, and you're just going to make it 3 cups of rice, and you want to make sure you rinse all of the starch off. If you're cooking white rice, ensure that you wash it off really good, and once you start seeing that cloudy water that you're first seeing when you're washing rice is off, you've washed a lot of that starch out, which is what you want to do. You don't want to keep all that starch on your rice. Salt, pepper, and cayenne pepper. This is all going to be the taste. If you like it real spicy, by all means, fill it up with that cayenne pepper. If you don't like it spicy, I suggest you not use it. Lady V can't eat that cayenne pepper. It'll tear her up. But I like a little spice in my life, so I'm going to add me a little cayenne pepper, maybe a little habanero in there too. But, hey, that's just me. instructions for this dish is you have to saute your onions in the butter until they're nice and clear, tender. Add your tomatoes and tomato paste and cook that for about 5 additional minutes. Add your garlic, your celery, your bell pepper, your parsley, your thyme, and your clove and cook that for 30 minutes. Add your sausage and chicken. Cook your rice and chicken stock. Remember that recipe for the chicken stock that you made earlier when you were poaching your chicken? Take that chicken broth that you had saved from that chicken and cook your rice in that. That is going to make your rice absolutely amazing. Anytime that you're cooking and you can substitute using just water, use chicken base, man. I promise you it's gonna make your dish pop wild, man. So I use a lot of chicken broth, a beef stock, a vegetable stock, a fish stock. And you can make your own stock when it comes to any of those things. So please feel free to ask any questions about that. But cook your rice and your chicken stock and add it to the pan. Simmer it for about 10 minutes and season it to taste with your salt, pepper, and cayenne. And there you'll have your chicken and sausage jambalaya that you don't have to go to the store and get it from the box. This way it's really good. You can make your own and add your own twist to it and just really make it your own dish, man. And that's what's going to make it absolutely amazing. Before we get to the desserts, I'm going to have one more music break, and I'm hoping that the song will play this time that she shows up to the concert, because I'm going to show some love for Aaliyah and just still let her know that I care for you. And I care for all of my listeners, and thank you all for tuning in to that. But we're going to ship it right on to Aaliyah, man. God rest her soul, man. She was so young and so beautiful, and I miss her music dearly. We'll listen to that short tune right there, man, and we're going to come back and we'll finish it up with the dessert, so stay tuned. I remember when that song came out. That song took me through some things, baby. You just don't know. Well, I hope you got your sweet tooth ready, because, see, I done already tickled Lady B with some of my sweets this week. But just for her, I'm going to throw out some bread pudding recipes, man. You know, bread pudding was something that I actually never actually liked before until I started cooking it myself. There are certain key tricks to come when it comes to making bread pudding, because you can overcook it, you can undercook it, and it's just going to come out horrible. One key factor when you're cooking a bread pudding is you want to ensure that your bread soaks up all your custard. So don't cut your bread up and then pour your mixture on top of the bread. It's not going to be the way, the consistency that it needs to be. You want to make sure that bread soaks up all that custard. So give it about a good 15, 20 minutes after you make your batter, which I'm about to go over. The first one, and I have several bread pudding recipes, and I'm going to talk about a praline bread pudding first, because, I mean, everybody loves a little praline in their life, man, and this one is absolutely amazing. This does feed a quantity of people up to 20 to 25, so cut it down if you need to. But start off with you 6 loaves of French bread. Key note, going back to the bread that I was talking to you about earlier, if I wasn't muted out, a specialty bread that I actually have started using to make my bread pudding is Misha. I have a chef on my team that can cook any kind of bread that you like, Misha, ciabatta, sourdough, and it's really, really good. I let him cook it because that bacon requires too much attention. You got to measure all that stuff out, and math wasn't my thing, man. I don't, you got to do too much, but it's really, really good if you have a knack for that. And if you have any questions about how to make your own bread, please feel free to reach out. But the praline bread pudding goes as follows. You'll need 6 loaves of French bread or any bread of your choice, 30 eggs for that amount of bread, okay? 7 cups of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 cup of vanilla, and 1/2 gallon of milk, or you can use heavy whipping cream. I like to use the heavy whipping cream instead of the milk. It gives it a nice, rich, creamy flavor opposed to the milk. Method of preparation, cube your bread up as you're cubing your bread, if you want to do it about a half inch by a half inch, don't do it too big because it's going to be just too much whenever a person is eating it. So you want to make sure you get a nice bite size. Combine all of your ingredients except the bread into one bowl and mix it up really, really well. So add your flour, your sugar, your salt, vanilla, and your cream, and mix it up well. Have your bread sitting in another bowl and just fold in the breadcrumbs into your mixture. And when I say fold, you'll take your spatula. You don't take your hand and just push it into the bread because you still want your bread to be nice and fluffy. It's just going to soak up that custard. So you want to fold in with a spatula your breadcrumbs in with your mixture and make sure that it's entirely covered. After waiting for about 20 minutes, then in your greased dish, because I like to use little small ramekins, little personal ramekins, and make personal bread pudding, make sure your dish is greased with butter very thoroughly. This ensures that the bread pudding does not stick. It also helps to make sure it doesn't burn and get a scorched flavor to it. That butter really does something with it. So while that's soaking, you can go ahead and start getting your praline sauce together. Your praline sauce is 2 pounds of butter, 4 pounds of light brown sugar, 1 pint of cream, and 4 cups of medium pecan pieces. Again, I like to shell my own pecans, so I like the freshness of that. If you want, but the bag pecans are absolutely amazing. Just know that they're a little expensive. If you got a good old pecan tree like I got in my yard, hey, you are right up the right road for this recipe right here. Set your preheat your oven at about 325 degrees. After that bread has soaked up the custard and you've placed it in your buttered pan, let it cook for about an hour till it is golden brown. So one key note about cooking a bread pudding, if you're going to cook it in the individual ramekin, you want to cook it in an ice bath. Not a water bath. And that's just going to be enough water to cover half of your ramekin dish. And you're going to cover that with foil. This is going to make the bread pudding very nice and fluffy. Actually, when you take your foil off of your bread pudding as you're cooking for that first hour, then it's going to be actually taller than your dish, but it's going to fall back down, but it's going to be so nice and beautiful. Let it cook for about 5 to 10 more minutes just to ensure that it gets that nice golden brown on the top. Take that out of the water bath after it's prepared and pour that praline sauce over on the top and let that just drizzle down the side. And I'm talking about some good eating right there. And there you have you a nice praline bread pudding. Moving on, we're going to go to the fruit bread pudding. And this is actually good with any type of fruit that you like. I actually have a recipe for peach, apple, and blueberry bread pudding. If you want to do a multi-berry bread pudding, hey, I've made one before and it went by really, really well, man. It tastes great, all of those fruit flavors, because I'm a fruit lover. So definitely try it out, man, and just do different things, man. You can do an apple raisin bread pudding. You can do just a simple cinnamon bread pudding without any fruit in it at all, just exclude the fruit. But again, we're going to start off with the 6 loaves of the French bread. Take you about 30 eggs, 7 cups of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 cup of vanilla, 1/2 gallon of cream, and 1.5 pounds of frozen vegetables. I'm really talking crazy now. Frozen vegetables. Frozen peaches, baby. Frozen peaches. We're talking about peaches here. I guess I got a little hungry over here. I'm thinking about going to the kitchen to finish it up by cooking. I'm going to take you 1.5 pounds of frozen peaches. Again, when you're cutting your bread up, you'll want to ensure that it's not too large, about 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch. And combine all of your ingredients together. Again, keeping in mind that your bread needs to soak up all of the custard. So you'll fold in those bread cubes again and let that sit for about 20 to 30 minutes. And in a nice buttered pan, you can bake that at 325 in a water bath for about an hour and then an additional 5 to 10 minutes just to make sure that that golden brown is set on top. Key note about this, I actually like to take me a little bit of sugar or steal some cinnamon and just sprinkle that over the top of them, man. It's going to give it a nice, presentable look to your guests, whoever's eating it, and then add a little bit of flavor to it as well. My last dessert I'm going to talk about is something called an orange surprise, man. And I actually made this up about 2 months ago for an event, and it went really, really, really well. But you'll want to take you some oranges and take your orange juice, take your oranges, and you'll slice the top of it, okay? And you want to slice the top of it slightly bigger than you're going to slice the bottom of it because you're going to have to hollow out the orange. After you hollowed out that orange, save your oranges that you hollowed out. Cut the bottom of your orange off just barely enough to get a hole, because what you're going to do after that is you're going to take that bottom that you cut off and you're going to place that inside of your orange. That is going to make the bottom for your dish. After you've hollowed your oranges out and stuck the bottoms inside of the orange, and that's giving it a nice suction in there to where it doesn't leak out, take your remaining filling, the oranges that you peeled out, and you'll squeeze all of the orange juice, being careful not to put any seeds in it, but squeeze all of the orange juice out of the oranges that you hollowed out. Take you some orange sherbet. Now, depending on how many you're trying to feed, like say you're going to use about six nice-sized oranges. If you want to use the smaller oranges, you know, you just kind of measure it according to you. But with that juice, that fresh-squeezed orange juice, then take you about a cup to a cup and a half of orange sherbet, and then take you some of the Minute Maid orange concentrate orange juice, you know, like your grandma used to make, where you fill that can up with some water about 3 times, and then you got your orange juice, that right there, that concentrate right there, and mix all of it up, and it's going to be a nice ice cream, nice flow. The consistency of it doesn't need to be too watery, but it doesn't need to be too thick either. But keep in mind, you are going to freeze this. So after you've mixed up your sherbet, your fresh squeezed orange juice, and your orange concentrate, take you a piece of Godiva chocolate. If you like dark chocolate, whatever kind of chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, and place that in the middle of your orange, and then pour your batter that you made with your orange batter into the orange. Make sure you do not throw away the tops that you cut off of the orange, because what you're going to do then, you're going to, after filling the orange cups back up with the orange sherbet mixture back on the orange, this is going to give you a nice little dessert. You'll freeze these for about 30 to 45 minutes. You don't want them to freeze to where they'll get rock solid, because then they won't be able to eat it. You'll have to thaw it out some. But you only want it to freeze to where it's firm enough to get a nice consistency like a custard or an ice cream that you would eat with a spoon. You'll place the lids of the oranges back on there. You can garnish this with a simple piece of thyme, or just put your little cute cocktail straw under an umbrella, man, and you have your nice, cute little orange surprise. Because most of your customers don't know, or your guests don't know, that there's a piece of chocolate waiting on them at the bottom of it. But the mixture of this is absolutely amazing, man. The kiddos will love it. Adults killed me for it. So, and if you really want to go there, add a little shot of vodka in there, and you really going to have it going on. Yes, but this actually is going to conclude this segment of Cooking It Up with Chef Fetty. Man, again, my apologies for me tripping and being 15 minutes off the air explaining all these recipes. But as Lady B said, man, we're going to get those recipes out there. If you have any questions, please reach out to us on Fast Life on the Move. We are going to kick out the show with a little Jackson 5. You remember this cut right here, man. Mariah Carey did it, but the Jackson did it better, baby, because she said, I'll be there. All right, man. Y'all have a good evening. Okay, excuse me. Never mind. The Jacksons are not on tour right now. So we're going to go on with a little Ignition from R. Kelly, man. Y'all remember this cut, man. This song took me through some times back in the day, man. Hey, y'all have a good evening.
Now, usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling you. The way you do the things you do reminds me of my next. back to school. That's why I'm all up in your grill, trying to get you to a hotel. You must be a football coach, the way you got me playing the field. So baby, give me that, and let me get that. Running her head through my fro, bouncing on 24s. Why they saying I'm not ready? It's a remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun. It's like murder, she rolls. Once I get you out the clothes, privacy's on the door. But still, they can hear you screaming more. Girl, I'm feeling what you're feeling. No more hoping and wishing. I'm about to take my key and stick it in the ignition. So give me that. Let me get that. Running her head through my fro. Bouncing on 24s. Why they stand on the radio? It's a remix to Ignition. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body. Got every sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun. Crystal popping in the stretch navigator. We got food everywhere, as if the party would cater. We got fellas to my left, honeys on my right. We bring them both together, we got juking all night. Then after the show, it's the
party.
Yeah, after the party, it's the
hotel lobby.
Yeah. About four, you gotta
fill the lobby.
Yeah. Take it to your room and
somebody.
Can I get a
toot-toot.
Can I get a
beep-beep.
Running her head through my fro.
Yeah.
Bouncing on 24. Come on, body down.
It's
a remix to Ignition. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body. Got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum. I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have
it.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mama rolling that body. Got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum.
Yeah.
I'm like,